going down that path. So you pulled back and decided to get not only help for yourself and understanding for yourself, but to be able to help others.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was not probably until my early 20s, my mom started drinking with me at a pretty young age, and I had older sisters, so it was kind of just normal in our house, And then my mom got diagnosed with cirrhosis when I was probably 18, and that kind of started to open my eyes, and then walking through that with her really had an impact on, like, okay, what am I going to do here? I see what this can lead to, and is that the life that I want? And about the same time, I was graduating college and trying to figure out what I was going to do, and God placed me in a supervised living site for people with mental illness and addiction. And even though that wasn't what I had planned to go into, kind of where I found myself, and it really just worked out well because I've been able to help my mom during her end stages of cirrhosis.
That's wonderful. How do you think, as you just mentioned, helping your mom, what do you think that that training did? Like, how did that change your relationship with your mom, and how were you there to support her that way?
Oh my gosh, it gave me so much more empathy. I had no empathy before for her. I had no understanding of addiction. I didn't look at her as having struggles. I looked at her as, why doesn't she ever remember what I say? Not recognizing that it was blackouts, or, looking at other people's moms and wanting the relationships that they had whenever. Now, in hindsight, I'm just like, wow, she was such a good mom in spite of her addiction. Like, everything that she was going through, she still showed up. She was still loving. Like, we still had amazing memories. And so those are the things that I like to look back on.
That's great. I think you're right. Of course, Mariah and I actually met at inpatient. We were both working there instead of actually there. So I was volunteering with leading a group there called Women Connect, and I connected with Mariah as well. But I think you're right. That's one thing. Being able to listen without judgment is a big thing. And being able to actively listen and show compassion and empathy and realize that, judging someone, belittling someone, that's not helpful. That's not helpful.
Not at all. No.
No, and from
No.
our angle, the benefit of, we weren't wronged. This is not a family member of ours, so we're not frustrated and we're not at wit's end, and we've got a little bit more space for compassion. And you can, really turn somebody around by just reaching that point of encouragement. Sometimes that's all someone needs. And of course, being a woman of faith, you prayed with them, and in many cases, really introduced them to God and Jesus and how to take another path, right?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's familiar with the 12 steps, so that was always incorporated, and just surrendering and finding your peace and God's will for your life. I mean, that's the biggest success stories that I saw, was whenever people would surrender and just say, I can't do it on my own.
That's right. That's right. I had a discussion with somebody about that first step, surrender. And it's difficult in today's world when we talk about empowerment and you can do anything you want. You're independent. You could do this by yourself. And so for some people, they think surrender is failure. Like, I'm failing. So I finally gave up and said I'm a loser. But surrendering is really coming to that place of understanding that I can't do this alone. I will need help to do this. And if we're in this power struggle, how are we ever going to move forward if we continually think we can do it all?
Yeah, and most of the time people come to that place because they've tried to do it on their own. So it's not that you are a failure, it's that what you've done hasn't worked so far. So why not admit that, like, hey, maybe I don't know it all. Maybe I can't do this on my own.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know that's a huge passion of yours, and but things have kind of changed in your life, so you're not inpatient counseling anymore. Is that correct? What kind of led you to leave that path?
Yeah, that's right. So my husband is a attorney, and he has his own law firm. And we kind of move around with that. So it was hard to maintain a full-time job in an inpatient facility, but I do still pick up shifts. I'm still on their PRN list, so whenever I'm in the area, I can go back and work. But because we've been traveling, we started a couple other ventures. We Airbnb our houses. We're originally from St. Louis, so we have a place in St. Louis and then a place in Southern Illinois, and right now we're in Florida for the winter. So I'm not mad about
I bet you are not mad about
that.
that. That's exciting. That is so exciting. But you have another venture too. So I'm pretty sure, did you start this during the shut-in when we were all shut in? Is that when you got inspired to start your website?
Yeah. 2020 was, I think, the year of
It
blogs.
was. Well, it was, I think
Yeah.
it was the year of venture. And I like that
Yeah.
because, you could either sit there and twiddle your thumbs and get mad and frustrated, or you can say, hey, what can I do? And I, you started that and I knitted about 250 hats. So let's see. Yourpraingfriend.com is
Yes,
Mariah's
I
blog.
am your praying friend.
Yeah, tell us about the inspiration for that. How did you come about?
That's a funny question because I can't really pinpoint when I came up with the idea, but yeah, it was in 2020, and I just think that I knew there was a need for prayer, and I always saw it in the inpatient rehab. Like I said, that's where I would see big changes in people's lives whenever they started seeking God. And I was like, you know what? I think I can reach more people than just my little area here. Let me see what I can do online. And from there, I now do individual counseling online. That website, it's just full of resources, things that I've done in counseling that I've made available to people, anybody that visits. So I really have a heart for the families of people with addictions because that was the position that I found myself in. So I think I can relate with that the most. But also, having counseled hundreds of people that have addictions, I think, you know, I can understand both roles. So the website's geared mostly towards that. A lot of the resources have to do with addiction, but it's anybody just struggling, you know, just needing prayer. There's a prayer request tab on there. You can reach out, send me an email. I'm happy to pray with people. I'm happy to set up individual counseling online. I have a heart for the hurting. So if you're hurting, I want to pray with you.
Oh, I love that. A heart for the hurting. And so you have, it's not only where you take prayer requests, but you also do a blog, and that's basically different topics of counseling techniques and things that you've had to, or that you've dealt with. And so how often do you publish a blog? Is this a weekly blog?
So I feel like I have enough content on there now that I've built up just resources and, like you said, things that I've done in counseling. So I don't blog as much as I used to because, you know, I started another venture. Journaling is like, I promoted that a lot in my blogs, like how beneficial journaling can be. And I just started creating my own journals. So being a counselor in an inpatient rehab, I had access to tons of workbooks and resources that I would always give to my clients. But I always wanted to incorporate prayer and, you know, just spending time with Jesus. A lot of times, journaling, you know, if you ask somebody to write down their thoughts or their feelings, they just have a blank piece of paper. Like, nobody's really into that anymore, or so far that I've encountered. But if I give journal prompts or like a prayer prompt or a scripture, then I find that people are a lot more responsive. So all of my books are meant to be interactive.
Yeah, I love that. And so if you missed that, she actually created her own journal. So this is your design, your pages. You got it all printed. They're on Amazon.com. They're on yourpraingfriend.com. You can go there and you can order them. And so they're really interactive. They help you. So what would you say is the benefit of journaling? If it was your elevator pitch on the benefits of journaling, what would you say?
So the favorite of mine is gratitude journaling because I just find that a grateful heart can't be angry, it can't be resentful, it can't be sad. So whenever we're practicing gratitude, it's really hard to sit with any of those other difficult emotions. I feel like, even if you find yourself getting stressed out, you start counting your blessings and all of a sudden your mood changes. So that would be my pitch. Like, hey, you know what? Just start with gratitude journaling. If you want to start somewhere, if you're like, I can improve on one thing, make a list of five things you're grateful in the morning. And that's it.
I love that. I think you're exactly right. And sometimes we've said it before, you have all these things happen great during the day, and then one negative thing comes along and it's all you can think about. So journaling gratitude just reminds you of all those things that you might have overlooked at the end of the day. And I don't know how you feel about this, but journaling is not a diary. So what I mean by that is I found that people, and myself included, so a diary you feel like is in this chronological order, and you miss a day, and then you feel, well, I got to go back and I got to catch up the last 3 days, and then I got to, and you feel like if you don't, if especially if you write up at the top, Monday, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know what I mean? And you skip Tuesday, Wednesday, and then by Thursday, I don't want to do it because I got to catch up 2 days. So, what do you tell? Has that been an obstacle that people or an objection people bring up?
Yeah, and I think that's why I designed mine the way that I do. Like, it's not just, I mean, I have just notebooks, so if that's your thing to just write your feelings and get your emotions out, by all means, if it works for you, do it. What I found is that most people need a prompt. So there's, what challenges are you facing and what have you learned from it? Just simple things like prayers, like God help me to love people the way that I want to be loved. Let me be a light in somebody's life today. So it's short things typically, and it's just a reflection, like what can I do for my neighbor? What can I do for my friend? Or if I'm in a difficult situation, what would I say to a friend that's going through that situation? So it's kind of just thought-provoking things that get you to work through whatever struggle you're facing.
I love that. You're exactly right. Those prompts are fun because you can sit down again, almost have that stage fright when it goes to write something down. I don't know. I think we should collab. We need an encouragementology journal with the different
I'm here
challenges.
for it.
Wouldn't
Let's
that be
do
fun?
it.
Yeah, I love that idea. Well, I love that idea because I think that there's those therapeutic pieces that you can actually use are tools in your toolbox that you really, really need. And we talk about, I can't even tell you the amount of articles with ideas that I have curated over the years that all say gratitude and meditation. And I almost feel like, oh my gosh, if I say that word again, people are going to choke me. But we have to look at it differently because we can make a lot of these blanket statements like journaling. You need a journal, you need it. But if you don't really know, like to your point, what you're getting out of it and what you're doing, then it's not going to be therapeutic. It's not going to be helpful. It's just going to be one of those other things on your list that you didn't do, right? And now you feel guilty for it. So I love that. I had a friend who was attempting to write a letter. This is another way that you could use journaling. And she was really mad. And I said, okay, let's write this letter like you're packing for a trip. Pack everything you can think of, all the shoes you want to bring, everything. Now go back and unpack what is not necessary and then send it to me and I'm going to unpack some more, right? So I think journaling lets you get out everything that you really wanted to say when you can't say it, right? So that's just another.
Absolutely. And I love what you just described. I'm probably gonna have to write a blog post about that now. That is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unpack it. Stop carrying around those burdens for sure.
Oh, because that will taint everything that you do when you just carry that burden into it. It's the past experience burden instead of walking into something just kind of clean and clear and ready to go.
They're
So what?
heavy, they weigh us down.
That's exactly right. So you're you are now, in case they miss that too, you are now counseling one-on-one. So whether that is someone needing help with journaling, praying, addiction, whatever that may be, a friendly person to talk to, somebody that's been there and has so much experience by working with so many different people. And can they get in touch with you on yourprayingfriend.com?
Yes, so there's a connect page on there, or I think the email's on every page. So anywhere you click, you should be able to find me.
And you have Instagram, you have Facebook, you have all of the above. Good.
Instagram, I post a daily Bible verse every day. And then Facebook, we have a group called Your Praying Friend. So just inspirational things, motivating things, encouraging, all the good things that you need from supportive friends.
That's wonderful. And I don't want us to miss the fact that Mariah is a workout buff. I just want to tell you, she's incredibly fit and she takes her exercise and
Oversell
health. Come on. She takes her exercise and health very, very seriously. So tell me, that kind of works into your whole mantra, right? What would you say about how that's, you've got prayer, health, exercise, like how is that your trifecta?
it's my coping skill, right?
Yeah.
And that actually started at a really young age for me. So growing up in my house, it was unpredictable and there was a lot of fighting. So I really leaned on going for a run or just going to walk and just burning off that energy. And it is so beneficial. And we know that it improves our mood in general. So if we do it every day, we're going to have those endorphins, that dopamine, those things that we are seeking unnaturally, we can get them naturally.
I love that. So you just work that into, it has to be a habit. You know, you just have to work it in. I'm preaching. I'm preaching to myself because my listeners know I'm the absolute worst. So I'm gonna try to take that. But I did have a friend tell me that she does prayer and yoga so that she does it, but like it's kind of a combo, right? Whether she would have gotten up and read a devotional or prayed in the morning, then she gets on her mat. So she's doing two things at one time. Do you do something
Absolutely.
similar?
I listen to worship music whenever I'm working out. So
Nice.
feed your soul while you're striving for a healthy mind and body.
I love that. That is so awesome. So, you know, hindsight is 2020, and when we look back and, you know, I love to give people just a little bit of inspiration, instill some hope, to what encouragementology is all about. And, you know, if you could look back at little Mariah and give her any advice or anyone else that's kind of sitting there thinking, you know, I really want to make a change. We're not in a lockdown situation anymore, but I'm kind of ready for something. I need to find some purpose. I need to be, you know, find my passion. What would you say to that?
Yeah, so like you said, hindsight's 2020, and it's easy to look back and say, oh, would I have done that? I mean, I have plenty of things that I wouldn't have done and that I shouldn't have done. And, it's tempting to say that I would change it, but at the same time, would I be where I'm at now if I changed any of that? Would I have learned the lessons that I've learned? Would I have gained the insight that I have? I think we learn the most in our struggles. So if you take away those learning periods, then I don't know what wisdom and knowledge you're gonna really gain.
That's so true. So true. So what about somebody thinking, you know, I want to do something new? What would you tell them? How do they search and soul seek and try to get going?
I think so. I was talking to my friend recently about purpose and just, some people have just standout qualities. Like, I look at my sister and she's amazing at art. She's so crafty, she could make anything. I have other friends that can sing, and just some people are just, they look like they just got all the talent. And you're just like, how did you get all of that? And for the rest of us that don't have anything that particularly stands out, how do we find out what our purpose is whenever we're not like extraordinary at something? So I think for me, it was just following God and his plan and his purpose, because as I've gotten older, I've had the opportunity to look back and see, man, he's been there every step of the way. When the times were the worst times I've ever gone through and I thought he left me, he didn't. Like, those were the times that I was learning, and that's brought me to where I am. So if you're trying to discover your purpose, I would just encourage you to, if you have really good qualities or something that you're very talented in, follow that talent, like build on your strengths. But if nothing really sticks out, don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to try things. Self-doubt and fear of failure can really hold us back. So I think if we push through those uncomfortable situations, that a lot of times we'll discover what we were really made for.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely. I love the extraordinary thought. You know, some people are so afraid just to take a step forward because they don't feel extraordinary, or they don't see themselves that way. But there's so much in this world. Don't get caught up in all the social media and everybody, you know, looking like they're amazing. We all are unique and gifted, and we have purpose. You're exactly right. I absolutely.
What do they say? Comparison is the thief of joy, right?
That's it. Yeah. Comparison is the thief of joy. That is amazing. So I just wanted to recap too, because I don't want anybody to forget how amazing and extraordinary Mariah Roan is. You can visit her at yourprayingfriend.com, and there you can not only get a prayer request, you can also get access to her techniques and some of the feelings that she has, whether you're a family dealing with addiction or you're someone struggling with abuse, substance abuse yourself, and you're just not sure what to do and where to turn. Please go check out her website, and you can get those amazing journals. They make great gifts. So they're available there. And I hope that you'll visit her on and follow her on Facebook and Instagram so you can see all the wonderful things she's doing. Thank you so much, Mariah.
Thank you, Kendall.
Very blessed to have you with me today. And I can't wait to watch what you do next.
Thank you.
So, so inspiring. Even though Mariah claims to be an introvert, she is full of joy and always at the ready to share it. She is hypersensitive to hurting people and will go out of her way to encourage and pray with those she encounters. Maybe you identified with her story. You too had a past and are unclear on how to move past the past and find inspiration. I describe purpose as a current. When you're in the current or following your purpose, things just flow and fit together. You don't feel frustrated or put out. If you hit a challenge, you're motivated to remove it so that you can keep the current flowing. You're inspired to share this feeling with others or to help them achieve the same sensation. If you aren't there yet, don't give up. You might be looking for a revelation when it's as simple as what comes easy to you. If you've ever said, "I was made for this." Revisit that and dig a little deeper. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you. Examine your past as a source of inspiration. Use experiences that molded and shape you to carve out a new path of purpose. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
Stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you. How I wound up here. All I needed was a rock that I can lean on. All you needed was someone beneath your wings.
Hi, I'm B.B. King. You know the guy that plays that guitar called Lucille. And when I'm in Portland, I get my blues from KBOO. That's 90.7 FM on your radio. Please stay tuned. They might play one of my records.
Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. If observation and science are the first foundation pieces for a future ocean plan, then policy is the second. Policy is defined as a deliberate system of guidelines to inform decisions and achieve rational outcome. Policy is a statement of intent. Policy can take many forms. It can be a codified outline of decisions made. It can be an articulated plan for action. It can be a set of laws, regulations, and administrative procedures. It can be a function of ethics, accepted principles, consensus, incentives, and other practices that are a context for the transformation of ideas into actions. Science and observation justify policy, argue against its denial, and provide authority and context for its implementation. Ocean policy exists in many forms as promoted by national and local governments, public agencies and private lobbies, political and social pressure, and individual theorists, all part of a dynamic, regardless of outcome, that drives and shapes civil society and its future. Good policy is often a reaction to the results of bad policy. Bad policy is often a motivation for good. Policy represents the identification of need and best practices, integrates change into law, and otherwise presents an agreed-upon strategy and plan for action that is acceptable to most until it isn't and is challenged by the reality of its consequence. There's no dearth of ocean policy. The United Nations presides over international issues with various sub-organizations to include ISA, the International Seabed Authority, IMO, the International Maritime Organization, FAO, the Food and Agricultural Organization, IOC, the Intergovernmental Oceanographic Commission, and UNESCO, the UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. The UN has also proposed the Sustainable Development Goals, number 14, Life Below the Water, the only one that interrelates directly to all the rest. There are other UN initiatives, just as there are equivalent specialized agencies in regional alliances, such as the European Union, or the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or the Alliance of Small Island States, that combine local interests defined by a shared geography to create and implement policy related to their specific circumstance. And then there is a further breakout of policy as directly applied to a nation state, sometimes created as unique objective, sometimes affirmed by adherence to a treaty, an affirmation of approval and engagement, such as the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea, ratified by 157 nations. That this treaty is not ratified by the United States is a definitive statement of policy. Another highly relevant example is the Paris Climate Accords, the International Treaty on Climate Change that speaks directly to the relation of the ocean to changing climate conditions every day more evident, undeniable, and destructive. The U.S. has ratified this one, and recent policies and proposals have attempted to expand and finance outcomes through legislation, targeted incentives, and measurable results. Policy in action. Policy can also be advanced by funding through such agencies as the UN Development Program, the Global Environment Facility, and the World Bank. By funding innovation based on policy values and structures, behavioral change can be demonstrated, creating an internal example and voice for new or changed policy within the country granted. And finally, there has emerged an investment context, ESGs, new environmental, social, and governance standards for private investment and social criteria, measures of a company's environmental, social, and political conduct designed to inform a new generation of socially conscious investors by evaluation of corporate behavior, its relationship with employees, suppliers, customers, and the communities in which it operates, as well as reviews of leadership, executive pay, accounting, audits, equity and diversity, and shareholder rights, each a demonstration of policy newly examined. As with science, policy is an existing, powerful tool for rescue. R for renewal, E for environment, S for society, C for collaboration, U for understanding, and E for engagement. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is distributed by the Public Radio Exchange and the Pacifica Network for use by college and community radio stations worldwide. Find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and at worldoceanobservatory.org.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open